is Wednesday, October 16th, and you're listening to Good Morning Atlanta, sponsored by World Trade Center Atlanta on Business Radio X, a proud 2013 member of Central Atlanta Progress. Learn more about Central Atlanta Progress at atlantadowntown.com. I'm Dana Barrett, and as always, we have a great show planned for you today. It's one of my favorite shows when we have Dan Williams from Central Atlanta Progress here to catch us up on all things Atlanta. And of course, today he's brought along a guest, as he often does. And today that guest is Frank Brown, who is the new executive director, is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Of the Butler Street Community Development Corporation, which used to be the Butler Street Y, if that sounds familiar. So we're going to talk all about what's happening there. Before we get into that, let's just talk a little bit about Atlanta. So first of all, it's official. It's been a couple months since Dan and I have seen each other, and it's now official that the South site is the site for the new stadium.
Indeed.
Any thoughts on that, Dan?
Well, yes. we're happy that the South site is the site. Obviously, it's extremely complicated when you talk about a project of this scale, two historic churches that have had to sell, and that's certainly unfortunate. There's so many moving pieces and things to think about in something this big. Our really main concern, at least in terms of the site, was transit access, and then obviously we want in the bigger picture, to leverage this project for revitalization of South Downtown. Programs that really benefit the neighborhoods around the stadium, things that weren't done as well or well at all with the previous stadium and Turner Field and other things that have happened in Atlanta. We certainly want to see a real kind of coordinated focus from the city, state, all the players involved, certainly the Falcons, to leverage this project. To make it something that is much more than just a stadium. It's something that is really kind of a jumping off point, and one of the first of many big things, like the multimodal passenger terminal that'll happen in the south part of downtown. That'll really kind of be benchmarks that we look at in 10, 20 years and said that was the point when South Downtown really began to really change.
And hopefully, I don't know how much you've heard about this too, Frank, but hopefully, I know it's always a struggle. Change is always a struggle, right? And for the two churches that were involved, they had to sell their property essentially in order for the stadium to happen. And I know it took a while and there were a lot of delays and, I don't think anybody wanted to see them get hurt, and hopefully it'll turn out to be a positive thing for them. I hope. I mean, hopefully they got enough money for their properties that they can relocate somewhere better.
Right.
Sure.
And not have it be a negative. I mean, I hope.
Sure.
Have you heard anything about it, Frank?
No, I haven't heard anything.
Okay. Well, we'll try to keep our ears open and on their plans as well.
But I mean, personally, and I think as far as Central Atlanta Progress goes, the fact that the South site, there's transit there already.
Yeah.
The North site, I didn't know. I wasn't part of the talks, but I can't imagine exactly what they were thinking in terms of how we would get people to football games and other things at a site that where there's no rail transit.
Well, you got to imagine that to some extent. I'm sure they didn't want to do it at the North site, but they also couldn't let their hands be tied. I mean, they had to say, maybe it was just a ploy.
I don't think so. I mean, the North site is a big site. It could have accommodated
a stadium,
and if we probably could have made it work. We've made other things work in the past,
but it wouldn't have been as good.
But as far as we've already got a stadium that doesn't have rail transit access, and we're working to get them that. So we want Turner Field to have access first, and I can't imagine the Braves would be very happy if you built a stadium somewhere else and then gave them a maglev before the Braves before the Braves got there. So I think it's moving in a positive direction.
Well, and as you sort of alluded to, I mean, part of what we want as people who care about and love Atlanta is to see it not only just be a great stadium, but also be a boon for downtown, both for the people that live around there, the people we want to draw to live around there, and also just for the businesses. Maybe, hopefully, people will come in for a game and hang out. in downtown, you
Absolutely.
Know, and participate in right. what's here, you know, the restaurants, the, right. you know, sure. shopping, whatever's
and
here.
The same goes for Turner Field and the redevelopment the plans for the area around Turner Field.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, right. yeah, so both of these are just, you know, assets, stadium assets that the Dome it leveraged to a large extent. I mean, but it not nearly leveraged to the extent that it could be. But the new stadium really should be leveraged for economic development, things around the stadium. But, you know, Turner Field, I mean, gosh, you've got 85, 86 games a year.
Yeah.
And if you come down to a game right now at Turner Field, there's not a whole lot going on.
No.
You go to the game or you tailgate.
Right.
And
right.
If you want to tailgate.
Right.
Yeah. And but in many parks around the country, some, you know, some cities are much like us. There's nothing around the stadium. But in many cases, there's restaurants and bars and retail and things that are going on around the stadium.
That supplement.
That right. supplement it. And then, oh, by the way, Joe. That sparks people wanting to live around that because right. those are assets that work 365 days a year.
Yeah, you think about Fenway in Boston, it's sure. like it's like right there. It's right. like two blocks from the subway
right.
and it's like just you're just in the city and
Yankee
it's
Stadium
right there.
Too,
yeah,
the
so
Same
it's a
thing.
Completely different yeah. feel. You happen to mention also while we're talking about transportation, the multimodal.
Sure.
So any updates on that? What's happening?
No, not really. I can say that I don't know when the last time I talked to you, did I tell you about them coming and speaking at our transportation council?
I don't think so.
A while back.
Fill us in.
The folks from Forest City, which is part of the part of the development team, there's Forest City Cousins and Integral Group that are already part of the private sector team that is coming up with the multimodal passenger terminal project. Well, Forest City's folks, they're based in Ohio, but they came and did a presentation for our members recently. And it's all very top secret, you know, the video and you know, they're showing this computer generated, you know, show of, I'm not an architect. I don't know what they call these things, but, renderings, a fly through. I think they called it a fly through because you actually fly through the,
Sweet.
But it, and it was, you know, it was like watching a modern day version of the Jetsons. It was just, you know,
technology.
Yeah, just next level. The plans for the multimodal passenger terminal, I can say that would be my personal update, that what I've seen are just truly phenomenal.
So who don't know what the heck we're talking
yeah.
about, the multimodal is going to be in that gulch, right? Between between the CNN
area called the gulch. It's CNN Center and Phillips Arena
right.
on one side. On the other side you have the Spring Street viaduct, and it's 20 some odd acres.
And it's for real. Like, it's happening.
Well, yes, it is. It I mean, there's, you know, now there's, you know, GDOT, there's private sector, real deal private sector developers working on the project. And then you got Ernst & Young that's sort of figuring out a lot of the financing on the project. You know, a lot of it is, you know, where's the money kind of come from
sure.
and who. You know, who's going to be responsible for what, but I think if there's ever been a right team in place to get something of this scale done, these are the developers to have on the Forest City has done, you know, some of these other projects of this scale in other cities. Denver might be our best example of a large scale multimodal project that's been done recently. Union Station there has been redone, and it's a gorgeous project.
So for people again who aren't quite clear, it's really going to be rail and bus,
streetcar, freight. It really is like a, you know, sort of an all in one Grand Central Station type,
right?
Yeah. You know, as we're other places in the country are building high speed rail, looking at high speed rail. We know that to keep up with the rest of the country, we're going to have to do that too.
Yeah.
As a region, a southeast region, at least our corner of the southeast, if we want to compete with California, New England, places where there's already rail service, but places that where there will be even high speed rail,
right.
And, you know, truly world class rail systems. People are wanting, we talked about on the show many, many times, people wanting to drive less.
Right.
People are wanting, wanting that sort of, those types of assets that you have in Europe and other places that, if we want to compete on a global level, we're going to have. So a multimodal passenger terminal would have, basically it would be the platform for high-speed rail. It would be a Grand Central Station for the Southeast United States. So.
Yeah. And I mean, there's two things that pop in my mind when we're talking about this. One is, I mean, we're already such a powerhouse in terms of our air transportation. I mean, our airport is like phenomenal, right? So we already have people coming to Atlanta because it's so easy to get in and out of here.
Right. Yeah.
But if you choose to come in on Amtrak, man, you're like stranded by the side of Peachtree, you know, like, what do
I
do now?
Waking up, getting there at 2 a.m. and the Kroger's across the street and they go, well, I guess I'm going to hang out with the grocery store.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I mean, I grew up in the Northeast, you know, between D.C. and Philly and, you know, with these big, you know, and New York, you know, with these big train stations that are just sort of such an awesome part of the culture once they get up and going and they have retail in them and they're just awesome. And so that's another, you know, if that comes, I mean, in and of itself, those can be a draw.
Sure.
So, you know, that one we don't have a date for, right? I think 2020 is the last I heard.
Yeah. We're told if things move along the way they hope that they will. That by 2017 pieces of it will be built.
Yeah. Now, Frank, I know you're such a young, delightful man. You don't know, but I mean, at my age, time flies. So yes, 2020 will be here
tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Now I'm going to use this next topic, Dan, as a segue over to Frank, but streetcar updates.
So I just got in from New Orleans.
I'm putting you on the spot.
At 1:30 this morning. So if there's anything major that's happening on the streetcar, I can't tell you right now. But if it's happened in the last 5 days, but generally speaking, I can tell you that things are moving along pretty well. Most of the construction on the east side is wrapping up on Peachtree. Moving now, the construction is really moving into the Fairly Poplar area down towards Centennial Park, and that it will be continued for the next few months to be kind of the hottest area of construction. The most fun for everyone will be found in that quadrant of the route. But over in Frank's part of the world, things are starting to
settle down
a little bit. Absolutely. I think Auburn Avenue still has some bit more.
It's not as heavy as it was maybe 3 weeks ago.
Yeah. So and track work on Auburn Avenue is
pretty much done.
Yeah. So. You know, the track work is you know, kind of the last phase of this phase, at least, which is before they get all the poles. I do have an update. The poles are going up for the overhead wires. So that's the big. It's all through every you know, few weeks, sometimes every few days. You know, there's a new kind of milestone, and so the poles are going up.
That's very cool. Right. So. The date, is it still spring 2014 that we're looking to be going with the streetcar? Is it March or something?
Yeah, spring 2014, probably April-ish.
Okay.
A lot of it is kind of, I mean, it's so fuzzy at this point to know when you pinpoint an exact date right now.
Yeah.
But I would think by, you know, beginning of next year, January, February, we'll probably be comfortable enough to have
a date.
You know, because you really got to start marketing it, and you know, you got to get something that the public is going to be very aware of and getting excited about.
Yeah.
And so we've started another sort of update is that we've started the PR and marketing efforts associated with the streetcar, really the branded efforts. You know, of course, there's PR for a long time because the media's been interested in this on a number of levels. But we've got a great logo, a color chosen by the mayor. We call it Mayor Blue.
Not, nice.
It's no longer Cobalt Blue. It is Mayor Kasim Reed Blue.
I like it.
So, we've got that. So that's going. We now have done a little makeover at the Peachtree Center MARTA station at Ellis Street, and you should stop by. It's wrapped in streetcar maps and logos, and just a way to get people excited. I passed it several times, and people are stopping to check out the map and really sort of
understand it,
which is great because I feel like there's people looking at that map so far up until right now. There hasn't been that many people really looking at the map and thinking about it and thinking about how it might integrate with their lives, and
yeah.
You know.
know.
Frank's thinking about it.
Yeah, we're thinking about it a lot. Good morning. Thank you, Dan. Thank you.
Frank's like been so patient and quiet over there. But I'm not even going to let you talk yet, Frank, because I just want to say one other thing. I did go to a media event for Krog Street Market a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. I think it was 2 weeks ago. And they also are looking at a spring 2014 opening. They haven't, that's what reminded me, haven't given a date yet either, because it's also a little fuzzy for them. Right. But it's looking really good. So that's going to be another point you'll be able to get to on the streetcar, which will hopefully be, and it looks like it's going to be beautiful.
You'll be able to get somewhat close to Krog Street Market. It's not going to run all the way up there, but eventually with the belt, I mean, when it connects to the belt line, eventually that will be certainly that area will. It's already being developed as a major part of the Beltline. Mm.
Yeah, right.
And whether that means just the trail and as we have now, and as we're continuing to build on the east side, there's lots going on.
When you brought me those guys from Paces Properties, so that's why I wanted to bring it up to you, Merritt and David.
Right.
So that was great. So Frank.
Yes, ma'am.
Have you had enough coffee today? Can I?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I'm ready to go.
So before we get into Butler Street, tell me a little bit about your background and how you ended up there.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting story. I'm actually from Charleston, South Carolina originally. So I went to Johnson C. Smith, and then I went to law school at University of South Carolina, and I actually got bit by the political bug, and I went and worked for Arlen Specter.
Oh, really?
For 5 years, yes. I was one of his lead counsels. Yes. Yes.
My home state.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes. I'm very familiar with Philly. So
yeah.
Worked for Arlen Specter.
I knew we had a bond.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And then I moved to New York and I ran nonprofits in New York, worked with the Duke family, who has a pretty prestigious nonprofit in Harlem called Boys and Girls Harbor. And then I ran an organization called Oasis Community Corporation, which we provided after school services throughout 4 boroughs of New York City to New York City public school students. So I got down here. I got married, and my mother-in-law moved down here.
And they said, here we go.
No, my wife said, no, I'm going with my mother.
Yeah. You can come or you don't have to. It's your call.
So I actually got here.
Women.
Back in, yeah, I know, right? The decisions you make. But I love her and I thank her because I wouldn't have gotten this opportunity if I didn't. And I think change is good.
Yeah.
Change is good. And
it's difficult, but it's good.
It's difficult, but you also get a chance to grow.
Yeah.
Grow as a man, grow as a professional. And you know, I wouldn't have an opportunity to work with Dan.
And that's what makes my world complete.
It's typically listed on a
to-do list when you
perks,
move to
Yeah.
I love it.
So actually, I left Points of Light. I was with Michelle Nunn's group over at Points of Light, where I did led their Days of Service for Martin Luther King and 9/11. And I've been blessed with this opportunity at Butler Street about 2 months. I've been there.
So the Butler Street, we talked a little bit before we came on the air. It was the Butler Street Y.
Yes, ma'am.
It's now the Butler Street Community Development Corporation.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. It's basically what happened was there was a fire last year, and we had a homeless transitional housing situation that the National Y just wasn't very understanding about our situation, to be humane and also to deal with the courts, because there were injunctions and all types of things that happened. So our board, which is a great board, I want to really thank my board, who really slugged through some hard times and political fights to keep this organization alive. This organization has been around since 1894. It's older than the NAACP.
Wow.
It's one of the original historical organizations on Sweet Auburn Avenue. And actually, if most people and most people who remember the Y remember it being called the Black City Hall of Atlanta. If you really wanted to know what the Black community was thinking, what the business community and the Black community was thinking, you went to the Butler Street Y. We had things like the Historic Hungry Forum Club. We had Martin Luther King, Vernon Jordan, Maynard Jackson, John Lewis, Ambassador Young. All of them either grew up or lived at the Y at one point in their lives. So for me, this is a great opportunity to reintroduce this organization. I think it's great to honor your past, but I think it's more important that people want to know what we're going to do in the future. And so I'm excited to tell you about some of our future plans.
Well, I love that you're conducting your own interview, because that was going to be my next question. You know, so now you're there and you've got all this experience,
yes, ma'am.
Kind of from all, which I think actually it's interesting and a good choice on their part. I'm just going to, you know, toot your
Thank
horn
you.
For you.
Thank well, you.
Well, just that you've had this experience working with nonprofits in a variety of other cities.
Yes.
Sometimes I think if you're in the same place too long, like I've been here for 25 years, I think, you know, you forget.
Right.
Or if you never were exposed to it in the first place, you know, if you're born and raised in an area and that's all you know. I mean, sometimes New Yorkers think that New York is it.
Yeah.
They don't understand that we can't all walk to everything or, you know, that.
Or you can get on a subway and get there really quick.
They don't understand, you know, what's our problem? You know, why are we all driving our car so much and making so much smog? They don't get it. Right. So I think the idea that you've kind of been around.
Yes.
Is going to be interesting and helpful as you move forward in this. So do talk to me a little bit about what is happening there and what's going to be happening.
Well, you know, we're really looking at 2014 as our kickoff year. Okay. I just been in a job maybe 2 months. We've joined CAP. I'm pleased to announce we just got a partnership with Nike around their new Nike store.
Exciting.
Nike actually came to us and they've been really a great partner, very thoughtful about the history of the organization because, again, when you have an organization this old, you want to be thoughtful about making sure it stays in line with the history and the legacy of excellence that we've had for so many years. So Nike came to us and had this great idea to collaborate with us and actually take some of the fixtures from our historic 22 Jesse Hill building, which was built in 1920. It's one of the few buildings that can proudly attest that two living presidents actually visited the building while in their presidency. It was Lyndon Baines Johnson and Jimmy Carter. So they came to us and they wanted to really pay homage to Atlanta and make the Nike store in Atlanta, give it an Atlanta historical feel. And you can't do that without the civil rights movement and, you know, Dr. King and some of these notables from Atlanta being, you know, publicized and shown in a different light. So we actually have given them permission to use the original backboard from our building that Dr. King actually that they played on. It's the original
Dr. King played basketball.
Yes, he learned
that basketball. I mean,
that is amazing.
That's just,
and he learned to swim in that building. But the pool is still there.
So now, where is this stuff going to be on display?
It's going to be actually when you first walk into the Nike store, it's going to be a display on. I think if you ever been to these Nike towns on the outside of the stores, they have these window
is
displays.
It the Nike town at Phipps or is there
no,
another
it's going
one?
To be at Lenox Mall.
Oh, a new
actually,
one.
Yes, it's a new one. Yes.
Hey, look at you catching us up on what is going on.
Yes,
I love
ma'am.
It.
So
do you know when that is scheduled?
I think it's the end of the month. In fact, I got to meet with Nike.
Really?
Yes,
ma'am. Oh, I love it. You scooped me.
Yes, ma'am.
It's awesome.
So, and actually, I'll let you guys know because they're going to include us in the grand opening and the ribbon cutting. So it's a great opportunity for us and to be aligned with an organization, a professional outfit like Nike. You just
sure.
The benefits of that relationship hopefully will be a great start to
that
my tenure
is
in leadership.
So cool.
Yeah. So and then also we have plans to we're working with Spelman. To try to do some STEM after-school programming for some of our low-income. I think coming out of New York, which is the biggest nonprofit laboratory in the world, I really got a chance to experience working in partnerships with governmental entities, you know, other nonprofits, corporate. And so we just believe that, you know, with the lack of diversity in the math and sciences and engineering.
I always forget STEM is science, technology,
engineering and math. Yes.
And it's funny because you brushed by that a little bit, but it's a big deal
it's
in our country
deal.
That
it's
we're not
deal.
We're so far behind some other countries sort of in our education on that side of things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not only that, but the diversity.
Yes.
If you go to Georgia Tech, if you go to some of these elite MITs, I mean, and I know that out in Silicon Valley, there's a real thoughtful effort to really try to diversify the ranks because we all know organizations benefit from diversity. Yeah. That's, you know, I just.
And they have oftentimes international diversity.
Absolutely.
Because internationals
right.
are coming to our universities because they are still among the best in the world.
Absolutely.
Right. But our young people are not.
Our young people are not. Right. And, you know, certainly not our, you know, lower socioeconomic, you know, the ranks of the lower socioeconomic classes in the United States have any access to that kinds of things. But, you know, the folks that are coming from other places are more likely to go back to those other places.
Oh, absolutely.
And we want people, absolutely. We want the folks that come through, you know, Butler Street and the areas of Atlanta to, you know, have access to the great institutions that we have
absolutely.
And have a pathway to that.
That's why we thought, Spelman has been ranked number one by U.S. World News and Reports as far as HBCUs, even though I went to John C. Smith. I'm happy about that. But, you know, I thought that, one, a focus on African-American, you know, low-income females, young girls, early from middle school to high school. As what we want to do is our mission is healthy living, social awareness, and economic empowerment. So you cannot be economically empowered if you're not educated.
Yeah.
You can't be economically empowered if your family's struggling with health issues and, and healthcare, you know, costs that are soaring. And so, you know, healthy living options is really key. So we're working to get partnerships with Morehouse School of Medicine, possibly Emory School of Medicine. So we're just really excited about all the things. You know, it's really rare that you get an opportunity to restart a 118-year-old organization.
Sure.
So the great thing about it is, you know, you can really re-engage the community and let them know that you're still here. But the tougher thing is to get people to understand that we have a future now. So not to get so caught up in a path. We have a great board, you know, chaired by Mr. Aisley Smith, who's one of Atlanta's top, you know, tax attorneys around here. We have, you know, board members who have worked hard and given, you know, their blood, sweat, and tears to keep this thing alive. And it's my job to take it to the next level. And I'm excited about the opportunity.
So I want to, you know, really make sure people understand kind of what, if you had to sort of sum it all up and sort of talk about the mission of the Butler Street CDC, what would it be?
Oh, it's just like I said, it's to provide healthy living options to our constituents, to provide social awareness. That could be with our film festival. We're planning on doing a March on Washington Film Festival for Black History Month.
Okay.
It's like a Tribeca Film Festival for short civil rights films. It was actually launched in D.C. this summer, and they had it at the Brennan School of Law, I think, up in New York in October, a couple of weeks ago. And so Atlanta is the next place that they want to go. So we're partnering with the March on Washington Film Festival. So that's social awareness, really letting people know, especially in light of times of the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington and all of these historical dates, the bombing of the 16th Street Baptist Church out in Birmingham. We really feel like there's a space in Atlanta, despite all of the historical organizations, for us to really fill the void and really reintroduce this movement in a very unique, interactive way. And we think that the film festival will be one of them. So social awareness, economic empowerment. We're working with SBA to have them come over and do workshops. We have a lot of small businesses on Sweet Auburn Avenue. And as you know, back in 1957, Fortune magazine called it the richest strip of black wealth in the world.
Yeah.
So it really has.
Yeah, I mean, it really was the nexus of the black community that at that time that had political power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, economic prosperity was not for Atlanta, but for the entire
for the world.
It was to do with
you couldn't find insurance companies. Yeah. Some of the biggest stars in the day went down there to perform. Right. Whether it was Dizzy Gillespie or anybody. I mean, for example, Langston Hughes visited our Hungry Forum Club back in 1945. And sent us a handwritten letter thanking us. I mean, very few organizations have this type of rich history. Yeah. So we also think about trying to do a museum, some type of small museum or works. Because and a lot of people don't know, the first African-American police precinct was placed at the Butler Street Y in 1948.
Yeah.
Because even after the integration of the force, you know, some of the officers on the other side did not feel comfortable taking showers with them. So it says a lot about the organization that the police department say, hey, we're going to put this here. So my job is, to really, again, honor the past, but also think about the future.
You're going to have programs, but there are programs for kids, there are programs for families, programs for adults.
Yes,
so it's sort of really a true community center.
Yes, ma'am.
For everyone.
Yes, ma'am. And you might, I want to engage, Georgia State is a big neighbor of ours. They have 35,000 kids. So we have a gymnasium that has workout equipment and stuff and bringing yoga and spinning classes and stuff like that. Innovative stuff that, will get people from different, because I feel like, being an outsider, I can say this. I feel like there's a divide down there. I don't feel like the Georgia State is, the kids really feel comfortable coming down that far or
right.
Really is integrated. So I think
maybe the streetcar will help.
Yeah, the streetcar I think is a big piece, and certainly everything, the development around the streetcar, because it's the streetcar alone is just a transportation mode, but we have to actually have development and actually getting new residents, including students, living. Along the corridor, right? And there's a lot. The great thing is that there's a lot of space for development. There are a lot of opportunities for development and redevelopment.
Right.
Certainly.
Right. And that's another thing too. We own two blocks between Jesse Hill and on Jesse Hill and Auburn Avenue at the intersection right across the street from Big Bethel. So that's a big part of my job too, to figure out how do we redevelop this property in a way that one honors the history of that area. But also, prepares us for the next 100 years of activities.
Yeah.
So we're entertaining, Dan and Cap has, and I just want to really, and I know you gave them a shout out, but Cap is an amazing entity. And I knew that was just one of the first partnerships. They were the actual first partnership of my tenure that we secured because they bring so many expertise. They've been very helpful in us in being thoughtful about how whatever we do fits into the greater picture. We don't want to do something that stands out like a sore thumb, but we right. want to do something that is contiguous and it has the feel of what Auburn Avenue is going to be in the next 10 to 15 years.
Yeah. So going back to kind of engaging the students at Georgia State. So, you know, I think everybody knows what a why is, right? I mean, that's right. such like a national right. part of our culture. Right. Everybody knows if I want to go find a place to go swimming or go right. to a gym, I can go to the why.
Right.
And so you're not losing that aspect of no, who you are and, no, and the identity. So the no, gym
ma'am.
Is still there. The
yes,
pool
ma'am.
Is still there.
Yes,
you know, are you going to be doing specific outreach to Georgia State?
Absolutely. I that's on my top 10 list to get in front of. I've been reaching out to funding sources like United Way. I had a great conversation with Milton Little, who's an extremely bright and innovative leader in this sector. I've been met with the Campbell Foundation, met with the tons of funds, just to reintroduce this organization because, you know, when something closes, you often know there might be some you know, bad taste in people's
sure.
mouths of, you know, people
right.
were disappointed.
Right.
It's been around since 1894. Why would we do this now? And I think I'm the new face of the movement forward. And
yeah.
I'm excited about this opportunity. I'm excited to be here in Atlanta, and I'm really blessed. For me, I take this really seriously because I'm a member of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, and Dr. King was my frat brother.
Yeah.
You know, W.B. Du Bois. So I come from a fraternity that stresses excellence and
yeah.
leadership
right.
and character. And my job is to make sure that this organization has the finances and the resources to last another 100 years. That's will define my tenure.
And Frank, if people who are listening want to get involved and help you in some way, whether it's through funding or
yes.
getting the word out or
yes.
whatever it is there a good place for them to, you know, reach
yes,
out to you?
Yes, ma'am. In fact, we're in the process of building a new website because when we lost, we disbanded our Y charter. We couldn't have any of the Y type of stuff up. So we're actually in the process of building our new website. And I will definitely provide Dan that should be done in the next month.
Okay.
So CAP will have all that information and you can get through us through the Central Atlanta Progress group because they have been just a phenomenal partner.
Well, great. Well, thanks so much for the kind words, Frank. I mean, you can see why it's so Frank and this kind of enthusiasm is, you know, part of what makes it a great time to be in downtown, you know,
yeah.
because there's so many people that are here that really care, that have great ideas, a lot of interest in public-private partnerships and all the things that it takes
yes.
to make revitalization and renewal happen in an area. And we've got several, you know, really significant nodes of downtown right now where you're seeing a lot of activity, and I don't think there's anything more exciting than what's going on in the Sweet Auburn area. Including Butler Street and going into the old Fourth Ward. I mean, there's just nothing more exciting than what's going on there. But, you know, as I was saying earlier, I mean, getting the opportunities for people to live along the corridor,
right.
that's what will ultimately make the difference. Because we need actual warm bodies on the street,
right.
looking for retail, looking for places to eat, just living daily life,
right?
Right? And something like what Frank has going on at Butler Street can integrate into seamlessly into daily life. Yes, Georgia State has gyms, but it's all about finding programming that fits a niche that it's not being filled elsewhere.
Right.
And things that I can just imagine, especially as a downtown resident, the niche of having a YMCA that serves the entire community, serves
right.
residents, serves Georgia
right.
State, is really kind of as a community center. I mean, there's just we don't have that right now in downtown. You know, what's going on there really could be that. And especially if the other redevelopment that the opportunities he's got right there are a part of this ultimate
right.
redevelopment of the corridor,
right.
you know, my hope is that in 10 years, I mean, you're just going to see people all, you know, everywhere along Auburn Avenue and Edgewood.
Yeah. No, Frank, let me just make sure I'm clear. You guys are not really open right now.
No, you'll be
doing like a grand reopening.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes,
ma'am.
We're
planning to do a big kind of, fundraise in December around our March on Washington Film Festival. We're in the process of reaching out to Congressman Lewis. If you have any connects to have him be our inaugural Historic Hungry Forum Club speaker this year.
Very cool.
In 2014. Awesome. So 2014 is a year that we're trying to start after school, the after school program around the fall. So I have a lot of planning.
Got a lot of work to do.
And I got to raise a lot of money.
And that's great because it integrates with our broader, right. Hey guys, look, 2014 is huge.
Yes.
Campaign.
Yes.
Like 2014. I mean, I've been in this job since 2011, and I can promise it's not something we say every year. It's
right.
Like, you didn't say this before 2012, right. 2013, you know. But seriously, 2014 for downtown.
It's so funny.
It's like
sometimes you watch reality TV, yeah. And every week the host is like, "This is the most dramatic
right.
season
right.
yet."
Yeah.
Or this is the
right.
most dramatic episode. And
you're right.
Okay, really? They're
right.
all the most dramatic.
Right.
But this
right.
is 2014.
This is no yes. joke. I mean, yes. There's not been a year for downtown like this since the run up to the Olympics. I mean, it just has not been anything like it, even before the downturn. I mean, there has not been a year with as much being developed and coming online. I mean, you know, go down the list. We just did an investment map just to show everybody that will listen, just to see it visually where all of this development is happening. Just hundreds of millions of dollars in new development from the College Football Hall of Fame, National Center for Civil and Human Rights. Several new hotel properties. I mean, there's cranes going. I mean, we've got several cranes going on right now.
Yeah.
I mean, so we've put together that investment map to really show that picture, and that doesn't even include the new stadium.
Right.
Wow.
So, and that, because that's just what's happened between 2012 and 2014. But 2014, I mean, you got the streetcar opening, you got National Center for Civil and Human Rights. You've got College Football Hall of Fame, and oh, by the way, there's projects like Butler Street right. that are coming online. Right. Yeah, so that are really starting to kind of be a part of this momentum. So,
well, I mean, you and I have talked about this many times. I mean, one of my complaints coming from the Northeast in Atlanta is that there are these little pockets of greatness
right.
that don't connect.
Right.
And as things like the streetcar happen, they're starting
right.
to connect.
Yeah,
and
right.
as things just fill in, if Butler Street is closed right now, once right. it reopens and becomes a vibrant part of the community,
yes.
there's not a blank space anymore.
Absolutely.
It's filled in. And then,
yeah.
as you said, if people start to live along these corridors.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked right. about this before, and I think we talked about this a while back with we were talking about the King Center redevelopment around King Center Station, and it's we need people living around the transit that we have.
Yes. Right.
So that's MARTA, but that's also the streetcar.
Right.
So if MARTA is going to be successful, people are going to live around where they can get access to MARTA, like I can. I have
right.
Live at Five Points, and as Dana always loves to talk
car
about, I rarely use a car.
Car day.
He's called
yeah.
no car day.
Right. So, yeah, but, anybody that lives, if they live around Butler Street and
right.
the streetcar's online, they can also, too,
right.
not use a car.
Right.
And that's the quality of life that people, it's precisely the quality of life.
And I think
that
I want to just also, that community has changed.
Yeah.
What it was during Butler Street's heyday and what it is now, it's
yeah.
a total different demographics. And I think that's the biggest thing that all of the historic organizations down there, whether it's SCLC, whether it's Rainbow Pushes down
yeah.
there, whether it's the King's, everybody has to adjust to reality.
Yeah.
And I think not being from Atlanta really gives me a clean
yeah.
slate to look at it for the reality
right.
of what do we need right. to do to adjust to
right.
all these
to
things.
True diversity,
right.
which is
to
what you have.
Diversity.
You're working with it, which is
yes.
a great thing.
Oh, absolutely.
That's exactly what
absolutely.
We need. I mean, yes, this was the place where black political power was concentrated
right.
because that was desperately needed because
it
was a different
right.
time.
Right.
Now
right.
black political power is integrated
right.
with, I mean, we've had black mayors pretty much
for as long as
anybody can really pretty much remember
right.
at this point.
Right.
And
right.
dude,
yeah.
our
yeah.
mayor has his own color.
Right.
Mayor Blue.
Right.
Mayor
Blue, right? Yeah, we're not even talking about black and white now.
We're
talking about what color
right.
is the streetcar. We're
right.
talking about blue.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So.
Right. Right. And we also want to
right.
Take this time to reach out to the mayor and let
yeah.
him know that he participated in our Hungry Forum Club in 2010 when he first got in, and we would love to have him back. So, again, I just want to make sure.
You know what? I'm sure he's listening to this show.
Right? I hope he is.
We'll make sure he does.
Absolutely.
So on that note, I know you mentioned several of the kind of historic figures that have been through Butler Street,
mm-hmm.
Including Jimmy Carter, talking about Martin Luther King Jr. playing mm-hmm. basketball there and all of that. So before we wrap up, I do just want to mention, we talked about before we came on the air that the Nobel Peace Laureates will be coming to Atlanta in 2015, which is a huge coup for the city. I know the mayor, mm-hmm. who yeah. has his own color, is very excited about that coup.
Yeah, it's pretty huge. If nothing else, just to it's a way. One, I think that there'll probably be various components of that, and I haven't gotten a lot of details, but I know one of the main components will be the National Center for Civil and Human Rights, which we've mentioned already. But it will be part of the opening year. For that new development, which for those folks that don't know, is going to be right near the World of Coke, mm-hmm. and the aquarium, and on the other side, you'll have the new College Football Hall of Fame. So, I mean, that in itself, all that, and then Ferris wheel across the park,
yes.
all that kind of new stuff going on over there. But so it's integrated into that area. And it will be a part of really kind of a part of the national recognition that's going to come with NCCHR. So,
well, and I think, you talked about 2014 being a huge year. And I think the whole sort of point of that is you follow, automatically, it's like the snowball is rolling downhill, right? And in 2014, it becomes mm-hmm. a huge snowball, and then it just yeah. takes on a life of its own.
Yes. Sure.
The city starts to attract more international attention, right. more things like that coming to
right.
town, and it feeds on itself,
right.
And then more money comes in to fund
yes.
organizations yes. like Butler Street,
yes.
Because people see the value yes. in this city as a real city,
yeah.
and
it's
real
just
force.
It's yes. incumbent on us now at this time to really start getting that messaging across. So we're working hard to get that messaging across about what this means, but it's also incumbent on us to. Things like what's going on at Butler Street, for these things to really start also gaining momentum, because you can have a year like 2014 and it can be great and you
yes.
get some TV coverage and people come for the, they come once and been there, did that, had
right.
a t-shirt
right.
and then didn't come back, or we can really start to tell the full story of what's going on
right.
and the full story of all this is just emblematic of real, real momentum back into downtown, to back into the core of the city,
yeah.
back into these historic areas, and making them something new for the 21st century. Because these assets are amazing, but they're not. If we don't really leverage the assets that we have and leverage the new stuff that we have to benefit the old stuff, then we're not taking advantage of our opportunities, and we'll let a really critical moment pass
yeah.
us by.
Yeah. I mean, certainly the Olympics can, 2006 was, or 1996,
yeah.
can you believe it?
Yeah.
1996,
yeah.
Oh my God, I'm getting old. 1996 was a
right.
big year, right?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Obviously, you can now look and it's clear, you have good hindsight of
right.
that time now.
I can't believe how long
and so
that
you,
was.
You can look right. at things about the Olympics that we, in terms of for the long haul, leveraged in a good way, and some not so much.
Missed opportunities. Right.
Missed
yeah.
opportunities. And, cities around the world see that. You kind of look at Turner Field. We were talking earlier about how they don't have transit. We could have maybe used that opportunity to get, since we're building over there, to have better access to that part. Missed opportunity.
Right, sure.
And so now you have a stadium, which is a beautiful stadium by most standards, but it's not fully integrated into the life of the city,
right?
And so we have to make sure that the streetcar integrates NCCHR and the aquarium over to Butler Street,
right?
Over to the King Center. This is all one big piece, one big happy family,
right.
that's a world-class destination.
What it reminds me, living in New York, I think I seen what happened with 125th Street.
Okay.
It is a totally different area, you got the corporate, you got the government when Clinton moved over there, and I see Auburn Avenue taking on that type of
yeah.
international feel. I mean, we see Asian people coming through. We see French people coming. With the construction, that is not, we have a traffic that's going through there. So it's critical, I know, for us.
It's funny how areas sort of take on like a coolness factor that disappears maybe and then comes back, like Old Fourth Ward certainly, and Sweet Auburn, like that whole area. I feel
it's
like
a lot
people
of
now are more intrigued.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to just keep building
that. We've shown it with Edgewood, and Edgewood is really kind of our showpiece of what is possible with the redevelopment of historic, historic streets and Edgewood and Boulevard there. It's, right. I mean, that, the New York Times has written about that. that corner, call it one of the coolest corners in America. Yeah. You know, and it it's where I spend a lot of time. Right. You know, if I've got nothing else to do on a Friday night, I want to be down there.
Yeah.
You know,
because the energy's great.
It's safe. The true diversity at the bars and the restaurants. I mean, really, you know, young people are coming from everywhere wanting to be there.
Yeah.
Well, there's no reason why we have to stop at that at that street in that corner. There's no reason why we can't make Auburn Avenue just as interesting as that part of Edgewood. There's no reason the properties are there. There's no reason why we can't continue to make this an interesting place for all people. And I don't want to in any way suggest that we think it should only be a place for young people going out to party. I think there needs to be a diversity of assets and types of retail offerings for really all kind of demographics in that area. There's enough room for all of that.
And I think also
young people going out to parties is always a good start.
Oh, it is. No, I mean, really, art and nightlife are the two huge drivers. And, and you're seeing both of those things happen.
Yeah.
You're seeing Living Walls and these amazing arts organizations coming in to, do murals and do all kinds of, a sort of, street level DIY kind of art stuff.
Yeah.
That's that really kind of makes that just aesthetically and for good for the soul kind of stuff.
And then to your point, the movie industry is huge down there. We've had 42 was filmed in our building.
Yeah.
So we have constantly are inundated with requests to use our historic buildings for movies. Some people came from Hollywood looking for some stuff for Vince Vaughn's new movie down here. So I think also I want
to give them my number.
Yes, ma'am.
Big Vince fan, huh?
Just in general, like any celebrities, any movie connections you have, tell them about me.
I definitely will. Okay. I definitely will. But I think one thing that I want to harp about is we need jobs down there. There's a lot of homeless people down there. Yeah. And Butler Street has a history of being there for those people. And I'm looking at for ways to really be true to that population, because those are people who grew up down there and they need jobs and they need help. So I think also being humane and understanding that there's still pockets of poverty that really, really need nonprofits and governmental entities to really pay attention to them and to help them, because you don't want a situation where you have all this international traffic and they're being inundated with people who just don't have no place else to go and they're being panhandled. And that can have a chilling effect on the traffic through there. So I think being thoughtful about providing jobs and making sure we transition these homeless people into situations where they can become independent and get back on their feet is equally important.
Certainly a focus for us and continuing to be, for leadership of the city, finding really innovative ways to deal with the homelessness issues that we have. And I think right now that's another area where there's just lots of momentum to really start thinking about solutions in a fresh way, learning from other cities.
Dan, you mentioned, I guess all of us over the course of the interview today or the show today have talked about a lot of different things, multimodal, the football stadium, Butler Street. So, if people are kind of intrigued and wanting to keep up with all of this, is going to the AtlantaDowntown.com website the best thing to do?
I think so, but I think, people like Facebook and Twitter and stuff more now too. So I would say, first of all, follow us on Facebook, assuming you're on Facebook. It's the kind of the way we get general public information out there. I just got back from vacation, so I've been kind of keeping up with things, but the way that everybody else does on Facebook. Right. So I would love to give a little shout out to one of the. Yesterday we announced that the Sweetwater 420 Festival, which has been in Candler Park, will now be at Centennial Park.
Oh wow!
That's
this
big.
Year. So yeah,
into the heart of downtown.
If you followed us on Facebook, you would have known that just as quickly as I would have known
that. There you go. And on that note, I'll do some of my own shameless self plug. So first of all, before I do that, Butler Street, you can also just go through Central Atlanta Progress for information.
And we will have our website up by the end of the month of November.
Okay. So. And, I'll give my own shameless self plug to say that I'd love everyone to tune in to the Week in Review show on 1190 AM on Sundays at noon. You'll hear some excerpts from today's show and as well as from other shows happening on the Business Radio X network. as well as sort of my opinion on a lot of things. I'd like to share my opinion. So, and if you want more information about that, you can go to my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/TheDanaBarrett. I need all the likes I can get.
I will like
I need all the friends and likes.
It's the first I've heard of this, Dana. All right.
Yeah, I'm trying to build my little community.
I got your back.
I've got like 200 users. I have like 200 followers. Is it followers or likes or fans or what do you call it now?
Fans, I guess. Yeah, likes, fans. I think it's pretty interchangeable.
I would love to have your show when we do our big film festival. I'd love to have you there.
I would love to be there.
Okay.
We're connected now.
Yes, ma'am.
It is funny. Facebook is becoming, you know, there's been the older set resists. Yes, they resist.
But you have to now.
You just have to.
You know, it's you mentioned websites. We have a very, I mean, our website is a monstrosity in itself. We've got tons of information there. But I think just in terms of getting quick information and integrating that information into the, I mean, Facebook is how you do that.
Social media is quick. And, you know, it's funny. I do a big Thanksgiving every year. And I've been doing it for, I don't know, 10, 12 years, 15, I don't know. And I'm like a little bit irritated that some of my family elders are not on Facebook because it would be so much easier to just put the information on Facebook have them all. You know,
everybody has that family member that just like emails everybody with like jokes or whatever. God. Like you know, there's Facebook for this, right. And the people that want to get your jokes can get the Facebook, right. And you don't need to like email.
Philip, I know. Yeah. I have those too.
Everybody's got them.
Yeah, and so now I'm like irritated with some of the family elders because they're not sticking with it. And you know, so I always say, you know, to my to the younger people in my family, when I start getting like that, you need to prod me poke me because I want to make sure I stay current.
Put on your special eyeglasses, Dana.
Right, exactly. You know,
everybody has them now.
Everybody has them. You can do your phone on your watch now. So.
And it's so funny because I'm so resistant to that, and yet I'm criticized. Yeah. But I did see a commercial for that smartphone watch that I think Samsung. Is the Samsung. Right. And the commercial was pretty compelling.
Yeah, it is.
Because I was
go
doubting.
The history of, right, all
but then
of it,
I saw,
right.
yeah, right. I saw that commercial and I was like, maybe I do want
I'm
one
so
of those.
Dubious. Right. I'm so
I
dubious.
Am too, but I'm trying
we're already Overwatches. We'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be a comeback, but nobody carries a watch anymore.
That's
wear
true.
A watch. I'm wearing a watch.
Yeah. It's a fashion accessory. That's right. You don't look at the time on your watch. Maybe you do. I don't know.
Only when someone takes my phone away. Then I look at my watch.
You need to be patting yourself looking for your phone.
That's right. All right. Well, this has been a great episode. I'm so glad we had a chance to catch up on all things Atlanta and to hear about what's going on.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. We really appreciate this opportunity. And thank you, Dan, for presenting this opportunity to us.
Likewise. Thanks for everything you're doing.
Absolutely. My pleasure to have you here, both of you, Frank and Dan. And for the listeners, of course, you have been listening to Business Radio X, and you can get lots of great programming here just by going to businessradiox.com. We're still very proud to be a member of Central Atlanta Progress and happy to be in touch with them and learn everything that's going on in the city. And again, if you want to know more about all of that, either follow Central Atlanta Progress on Facebook or go to atlantadowntown.com and get the link over to Facebook. Be sure to stay tuned for more great programming coming up here on Business Radio X. We'll see you next week.